Kobayi. In Christianity, God is a preserver. In Christianity, God is a deliverer. In Christianity, God is one who prospers. He's a prosperer. He's one who prospers. So in Christianity, God is our soter.
You are about to be so blessed by the words coming to you from the man of God, Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu.
I'm going to talk to you about the spirit amongst us. Hallelujah. The spirit amongst us. Praise the name of the Lord. And if we are doing spirit till the end of the month, then we are going to do spirit. Praise the Lord. Say this to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Jeshua, son of who? Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of God's people there in the land. Does anyone remember this house, this temple, in its former glory? I mean, give me King James, all right? Because when it comes to spirit, it's King James. Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remained among you, fear ye not. Now, do you have ESV? This version, put it in ESV. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let me read from ESV to you. What verse is that? Verse 5. Where is verse 5 here? According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Hallelujah. My spirit remains in your midst. That's a very powerful message. Hallelujah. My spirit remains in your midst. So underline, my spirit remains in your midst. Hallelujah. Fear ye not. Hallelujah. So King James said, my spirit remains among you, fear ye not. Hallelujah. Next verse. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, this scripture is God prophesying or giving a word or prophecy to the prophet Haggai for Zerubbabel, the governor, and you heard the name of the other guy who was the priest, you know, to get into building the temple which had been abandoned, all right? And it was abandoned for years. They started it and they abandoned it. Everybody started doing their own thing. So when you start reading from chapter 1, let's go to chapter 1 at least. I mean, this is a Bible school. I heard a man of God say, if you are actually in a very good local church, you should not attend Bible school because the local church got you. So I think I got you. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord. That means when you have a prophecy, you should be able to date the prophecy. So came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, these people say, the time is not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built. This is not the time for you to build the Lord's house. Next verse. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? So is it time for you to build your own house and abandon God's house? You get it? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. This scripture I'll speak about it, but I don't think it's this year or next year. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. I can preach on this scripture. It's crazy. You clothe you, but there is no warm. And he that earned wages to put it into a bag with holes. My God, that saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You know, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. So, I mean, when you continue reading, you'll find out. So God wants them to build the temple that had been destroyed through the Babylonian captivity. So they have to build it. They tried building it, and then the work stopped. They abandoned it, and life still went on. People were doing their own stuff. All right, and God brings word to Haggai, go tell Zerubbabel and these guys that they should start working. They should start building. Praise the name of the Lord. And in the course of the building, let's go to chapter 2. God asks questions, and God, the prophet, explains something. One of the questions God asks, let's go to verse 3. Let's go to verse 3. Who is left among you that saw this house in his first glory? Now, he's talking about Solomon's temple. So the temple that was built in its glory days. So the first temple that Solomon built. And he's asking, who among you? So how many of you saw that? So it means that, I think approximately it was like 66 or 63 years. So those who were young, who saw the dedication of the temple, all right? They saw the dedication of the temple, and he's asking, how many of you saw the glory? Like you saw the glory of the house. How many of you remember the glory of that house? That day, you know, Solomon sacrificed, and the Bible says that after the sacrifice, the glory of God in a form of cloud filled the whole place, and even the priest could not minister. Everybody was down in glory. Hallelujah. Everybody was in the spirit. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And he says, that was the glory of the first house. And he's asking, I mean, how many of you saw it? And then he says, the one that you are going to build, the one you are building, when you compare it to the first one, I mean, this one is the weakest. I want to preach tonight, but I just want to teach, so I won't preach. This is the weakest. This one is inferior to that of the one that Solomon built. Ah, my God. Hallelujah. Say, God is up to something. Hey, say, God is up to something. And God says that, yes, regardless the fact that, so he says, how many of you saw this house in the first glory, and how do you see it now? In fact, when you read Ezra, somewhere. Let's get to Ezra. Let me try and find it. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 12, rather. Okay, chapter 3, 12. Ezra chapter 3, verse 12. But many of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house, the second one, was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Do you get it? So, I mean, some cried, some were happy. All right, so it was a mixed feelings. They cried, they were happy. They cried because, what a building that was destroyed. Look at what we are building. But at the end of the day, people, I think we are doing something. So that kind of mixed feelings. Are we together? Good. So God is asking, let's go back to Haggai. God is asking,
How many of you saw the glory of the first house? Compare the glory of the first house to the one that is being done. You will find out that this one is very, very inferior. This one is very inferior. This one has a lot of problems. Hallelujah. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as of it as nothing? That means if you compare the first one and you compare this one is like nothing. So if it is like nothing, what should you tell us? Stop it. Like, don't continue, because what you're doing cannot be, the glory of it cannot be likened to the one that is going, that was built many years ago. Oh, hallelujah now. Glory to God. But look at, let's continue. Verse 4. Yet now be strong. So, I mean, what you are building, the glory of what you are building as it is not something that can be compared to the first one. It's very inferior. And when you compare it, the second one is like nothing. But yet be strong. That's a sarcastic statement. I mean, you know what I'm building is not really as glorious as, my God, I want to preach now. Hallelujah. It's not as glorious as the one that was built by Solomon. Solomon's temple, there were parts that were imported. Some parts of the temple, some of the things, some of the vessels were imported, specially made. People were selected. I mean, people who had skills. And this one were volunteer work. So it's like a church building that was built, the first one was built with people with high expertise. And then this particular church that is being built over the junction, they just call anybody, Charlie, if come, you mix the mortar. I say, how do we mix? They just put water, cement and everything together. Just let's put it. So he says that you look at it and you say, wow, this one is a very wonderful one. But you look at this one that looks, it looks a joke. But I am the one that is instructing you to build the one that looks like a joke. The one that looks like a joke, I am in it. That means God does not just rest with the one that looks exquisite. That one looks like a joke does not mean that God is not in it. Praise the name of the Lord. So God says, yet now, be strong. Oh, Zerubbabel, say the Lord, and be strong. Oh, Joshua, son of the high priest, and be strong. All you people of the land, say the Lord, and work. Work in the work that looks like nothing. Come on, am I communicating? One prophet, when he talks, he said, am I talking to? Hallelujah. In the work that is not magnificent, in the work that is shameful to even claim you belong, work. Work because there I am with you. Come on, are we together in this place? I'm giving an introduction to the message. I'll come to the teaching part. So work, I am with you. There work there. Be. And he says that it looks insignificant does not mean do it haphazardly. He said, be strong. Be strong. Hallelujah. It doesn't look like, you know, let me run a little bit ahead of myself. Our generation does not sound and look like the generations that went ahead of us. These were people who were serious with God. These were people, you look at them and you look at all the things that these people, they were and they did and all of that. And you know, sometimes it looks like they will look from heaven and look down and say, "These are they jokers or what?" But the Bible says that in the midst of that thing that looks like nothing, build. Be strong and build. Ay, 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 ay. Glory, say I build. How about I say I build? So, the difference between the first house and the second house is that the first house was made beautifully magnificent, gloriously extravagant, graciously, wonderfully. Hallelujah. And the second one starts like a joke. My God. See, we would take them by surprise. The second one is not built with people with high expertise. The second one is built with the pastor and the leaders and the rest of the people who are who look yes. Verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains with you. Put NIV there. Put NIV. You don't have ESV. Put NIV there. He says, this is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. So what is going to make the difference is that, yes, this is ordinary people. Yes, this is normal human beings. Yes, these are unskilled. These are people who are not professionals. Hallelujah. But listen, there is a covenant that I have with you. And the covenant is my spirit remains among you. My spirit remains among you. My spirit will not change the building, but my spirit remains among you. Still with people without skills, still with people without know-how, still with, it's like you're building ministry and God says, you don't build people who don't have master's degree in theology and all of that. Go to the market, go to the street, go to the seashore. Just find people who are inexperienced. Find young people who are dependent. Young people who don't even have directions in their life. Find broken people, weak people, and build me a church. And this is how it's going to be done. My spirit remains among you. Shout it, the spirit of God is in our midst. I want you to say like your prophesy. Say, the spirit of God is in our midst. So you understand now? So it's not about you being sophisticated. It's not about you having read the Bible through and through 79 times. It's not about you having gone for whatever lectures and whatever for whatever. My spirit remains among you. Hallelujah. This is how you know that you're building something. It's not significant. It doesn't look great. It doesn't look magnificent. Sometimes it looks like a joke. It looks like you are not really serious. It looks like something is not really happening. But listen, I have a covenant with you. Keep working. My spirit remains among you. Glory to God. Say, here is the spirit. You didn't come to church. Shout it, here is the spirit. Are you here? You have gone home. Shout it. Here is the spirit. So say, my spirit remains. Then let's continue. Verse 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Next verse. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. So this same thing that does not look like anything, there's something I'm going to do. My spirit is among you. I will fill this house with glory. Hallelujah, people of God now. Same teenagers, same young people, same inexperienced people. We meet, we pray, we are going for outreach. And it looks like, so you don't really have any serious thing you're doing with your life. And then they say, there's a one-night meeting, this is done. And you're moving here and there, and you are going here and there, and you don't even have a job. You know what I'm talking about. You work and work, they pay you little, you still have to come to church. Sometimes you are hungry, you are still building. Sometimes it looks you're confused. But anyways, you've got to be on the field here and there. You're going for one net here and there. You go, you are 2-3 people, the meeting looks like a joke, and you are there, you're praying, one person is chewing gum, and all of that, fresh people, somebody is a rasta, somebody has tattoo, somebody is this, somebody is that, and all of them come together. Sometimes you don't even know what to do in the meeting, and it looks like a joke. You pray, and you don't even know to what end. When are you ending the prayer? It looks like a joke, you know, you start like a joke. You progress as a joke. You don't know what is happening. But God says, listen, yet a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I'm going to shake the nations. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to cause a serious shaking. And this is the shaking. I'm going to pour glory and fill that same house. Sit down for 2 minutes. I got to preach a little bit. Hallelujah. He says, I'll fill this house with gold. Say the Lord Almighty. Next verse. Verse 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. 9. The glory of this present house. That's where the thing is. He says, the glory of this present house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. No, I mean, we just read in verse 3, where you telling the elders, you telling people to, hey, were you there? Did you see the glory of the first house? This one, in comparison, what you're building looks nothing. But let me tell you something. By my spirit among you, I'm telling you, the glory of the latter house, the glory of this second house that you are building, oh my God, it is going to be a glory by the spirit. It will not be glory by importation. It will be glory by the spirit. I will fill these people, these same volunteers. I will fill these people who have no skill. I will fill these people. I want to tell you from this pulpit, I believe in you. There is a glory, I love a sire, that fills out of volunteers. There is a glory that fills the house of lay people. There is a glory that fills the house of teenagers who are hungry for God. People who are just hungry, they just want to see the glory of God fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. I shout it to your spirit tonight. I believe in you. It will not be said you amounted to nothing. I said, God said, I will fill this house. I will fill this house. These same weak people, some of you, you have all kinds of addictions. You have all kinds of prayers you pray. You have all kinds of tears you tear. There is a glory that is expanding in our midst. It's called the Spirit of God. I will fill this house. God is up to something with your life. Brother, I said God is up to something with your life. Brother, God is up to something with your life. Sister, God is up to something with your life. Oh my God. Leko satabaya. Redeveko sabaya. A house filled with glory. A house filled with glory. A house filled with glory. Sit down for 2 seconds. Sit down for 2 seconds. Now listen. What kind of a house is that? What kind of a house is that? What kind of a house is that? You go to 1 Kings, you go to the books that list the workers, the people, and the materials that were used for the first house. Magnificent building. It was a great building. It was a powerful building. But listen, it was broken down. It was broken down. There was a building that was started by feeble hands. There is a building that was started by weak hands. That when the foundation was laid. So listen, in this particular building, God never stopped interjecting their apathy with prophecies. Anytime they feel apathetic, anytime their zeal looks draining, God comes with a prophecy. God comes with, you remember what he told Zerubbabel? Let's go to Zechariah chapter 4 quickly. Let me show you something there. Zechariah chapter 4. Say, this is a church with glory. Say, this is a house with glory. Can I hear your voice? Say, glory. Say, there is full glory. There is full glory. There is full glory. People, I don't regret knowing you. I want you to know that I believe in you so much. Hallelujah. There is a spirit in our midst that makes up for our insufficiencies. There is a spirit in our midst that gives us sufficiency. Praise the name of the Lord. There is a spirit in our midst. There's a spirit in the local church that when we yield to that spirit, strength constantly comes to us. Sometimes when you are at the verge of collapsing, it's called the spirit, the spirit that remains among you. Oh my God, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up like someone awaking from sleep. Verse 2, he asked, what do you see? I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and one on the left. I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? He said, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. He says, verse 6, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might. Now, the word might there is actually talking about forces. Forces and powers of armies. The ability to win by virtue of forming allies. Oh my God. The ability to win by forming allies. All right? Forming military allies for war, or having strong men to accomplish. And so that might he's talking about is, oh my God, is the combination of different abilities put together to support a cause. And God says, listen, this one is not by might. It is not by the accumulation or the coming together of professional might and professional power, but by my spirit. So, you know, I believe the reason why the building has to be inferior is so that when the building's glory surpasses the superior, we can actually attribute all the glory to God and his spirit. Yes, are we together in this place? Because it is not news that you had rich people in the church and you are having crusade every day. But it is news. It is extremely good and great and powerful news. If people were raised from the church from zero, are we together in this place? And they become extensions of God's gospel, and crusades and churches are planted all around the world, it's big news. And he says, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Because, you see, how is it going to be? Because at the start of the second house, it has been declared as an inferior work. It has been declared. It's like you are starting church and then they say, children's church. Or they say, what again? Sunday school. Focus Sunday school. Can you imagine? So it's been declared as a church without class, without status. But hey, there is a spirit among us. Oh, glory. Ayabadavaya. Hallelujah. Listen, we say our church. Read the verse 2. Read our church. The verse 2. All of you, read it loud. One, two, go. There is a spirit in our midst. There's a spirit in our midst that picks a young girl whose heart is ready for Jesus. There is a spirit. There is a spirit that just picks a young man whose heart is ready for Jesus and begins to train him in the school of the spirit and in the school of the word. And by the time the Holy Ghost is graduating that young man, the house, the Bavaya, that house that had no glory, the glory of that house becomes extremely greater. Oh, glory to God. Shout it, greater glory. Greater glory. Greater glory. So understand that today, God is up to something big with us. I want to say that again. I say God is up to something big with us. He says, what? Oh my God. The inferior building, as I look at it, God says, as I look at it a little while, I will shake the nations. Oh my Yavadasaya. Hallelujah. I will shake the heavens and I will shake the earth. I will shake the sea. As I look at the building that is happening, as I look as the people are working and my spirit is in their midst, I'm telling you, the world is too small to contain the devasaya, the power, oh my God, and the force that is in this latter house. I said the world cannot contain. We're going to heal nations in masses. We will network the world for Jesus. Hallelujah. In every little corner, the name of Jesus will be there. But at the beginning of the building, it does not look like it. You come, you go, and it does not look like it. You go for your wanted meeting, and it's three people. It doesn't look like it. Glory to God. But you are still going to go. You went, and it's just one person there. You are still going to go. This is a church with a prophecy. Oh my God, a little while. Glory to God. A little while. Give somebody a high five and tell the person a little while. Like a very loud one. Make sure you find somebody anywhere in the church and give it to the person a little while. A little while. A little while. Glory to God. I believe in what God is doing. Hallelujah. I believe in what God is doing. I believe in what God is doing. Come on. I said I believe in what God is doing. I believe in what God is doing with us. Hallelujah. So listen, take your seat. Just take your seat. So now, God says the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. It's absolutely impossible. Humanly speaking. So God gave a counsel. And I want to punch and push that counsel. Say there is a spirit amongst us. Let's go to Isaiah 31. Isaiah 31. Because I want you to live here burning. Glory to God. Isaiah 31. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen. But do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. See, there's a spirit amongst us. Yet he too is wise and can bring disaster. He does not take back his words. He will rise up against that wicked nation, against those who help evildoers. But the Egyptians are mere mortals and not God. The reason why curse and woe is unto everyone that seek help from Egypt is that they are mere mortals. Now, do you know what that means? Egypt at that time was the strongest nation, and you are just blessed as a nation to form allies with. To be an ally of Egypt is like a blessing. And God is telling his children that, hey, don't go down to Egypt. At the point they look glorious, at the point they look powerful, at the point they look strong, at the point they look very sophisticated in might. But listen, don't go down to Egypt. Because they are mere mortals and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. That means we have horses that are spirit. The horses. God is talking about, hi. God is talking about their armory. God is talking about that which causes them to advance in battle. God is talking about that which gives them the upper hand over other nations. And he said, listen, the advancement of Egypt and that which gives them the upper hand over other nations is not spirit. The reason why going to Egypt is a demotion is that the spirit is not amongst them. You may not have horses. You may not have chariots. You may not have many people, but you may have only spirit. If you have the spirit of the living God in your midst, there is no need to go down to Egypt. Come on, are we together in this place now? So you're not going to run your wallet with the flesh. You're not going to run church with the flesh. You're not going to run your life as a carnal person. There is a spirit in our midst. Glory to God. There is a spirit in our midst. I want to say that again. There is a spirit in our midst. Our advancement is spiritually orchestrated. Say, I jump over walls. Come on, say, I jump over walls. There is a spirit transportation that we have been enrolled onto. And it is by this spirit that we build the second house. So these are workers, ordinary workers, volunteers, ordinary workers. People who are lay people. People who don't have much experience. And God says, you know what I'm going to do? My spirit will remain in your midst. My spirit will remain amongst you. It's going to remain so strong with you. So that where you lack the sufficiency, the spirit will provide. Cell leaders, listen to me. Where you lack the sufficiency, you don't have to learn, you don't have to know everything about sales. Cell members, you don't have to know everything about being a member. The Holy Ghost kolavasandibai. the Holy Ghost in our midst provides. Shout it, I believe in the Holy Ghost. You really came to church shouting, I believe in the Holy Ghost. So even with your life, why would you build your life naturally? If you heard this, that, see, the house that the Spirit of God is involved in building, the glory of that house supersedes every kind of glory in any kind of house, no matter how glorious it is. See, I build my life with the Holy Ghost. So this local church, we have the Spirit of God in our midst. We just come to church and we go and we come and we go and we come and we go. We come, we pray, we come, we eat the word and we go. And then, boom, the Holy Ghost is all right. It's time to build the doors. It's time to build this. Then the Holy Ghost, all right, go on it, go on it, go on it. Go on and break the church, break the church, break the church, break them into groups, break them into groups. And then we break the whole church into groups. There are sometimes, all right, you're going to have one whole month, you're talking about local church. One whole month, you're talking about the Holy Ghost. One whole month, you're talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost. One whole month. You know, it's a building. And God is saying a little while. Ah. A little while. A little while. A little while, a little while, a little while, a little while, a little while. No, do you believe that? Ah, glory to God. So when we read the scripture, go back to that. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Don't quickly jump. See, that's what we used to do. Ah, the glory. No, relax. The glory of the latter house is a glory that emanates, that comes by virtue of the Spirit building with lay people. When we talk about lay people, we are talking about people who don't have certificate in ministry. People who are not full-time. You know what I mean by full-time? I'm not talking about people who they don't work, they don't do it. All that they do is that they are just doing the work of God. That's what they call theologically, they say is full-time. But, ah, my God. Oh, hallelujah. God does not grant victory with the arms of the multitude of men. Victory does not come by the numeracy of people. It comes by the Spirit of God. So the glory of the latter house is talking about that house built with people who have the Spirit. People who have the Spirit amongst them. Now that means the work is going to be difficult if you are not going to work with the Spirit. The work is going to be extremely difficult. Hallelujah. So it tells us, now let me come to the main point of the message tonight. It tells us that the local church, the place where God is building people to touch the world, the Holy Spirit cannot be taken out of that equation. It tells us that the Holy Spirit in the local church is for ministry. It's for service. It's for work. As we saw in those who were building the second house. The Holy Spirit in their midst. I mean, he picked just ordinary people. He picked just common people, lay people. Hallelujah. Ordinary people. And then he just poured his Spirit in there, filled them with the Spirit, or the Spirit came in their midst, and then they worked. So it means that the Holy Spirit in the midst of God's people is for God's people to build. In other words, it's for God's people to work. So if you claim you have the Holy Spirit, are we together in this place? If you claim you have the Holy Spirit and you are not working for God, then it means that you are not strong in the Spirit. Strength in the Spirit is seen in your advancement of the work. So the Spirit amongst us reveals, it strengthens us. The Spirit amongst us reveals and strengthens us for the work, for God's work. And that's why when somebody comes to this church, in less than a month, the person can boast of the fact that I spoke to a soul. I won a soul. See, that's one of the benefits of a Spirit-filled church. A Spirit-filled church produces laborers. A Spirit-filled church produces people who work for God. A Spirit-filled church produces people who are willing. He says, in the days of his power, his people shall be willing. So it's a willing church. If the Spirit is in their midst, there are many churches today, the Holy Ghost is not there. You go to the church, pastor speaks in tongues occasionally. Labora, that's all. Or maybe they are doing church service. Then you see the Spirit has come. Then the pastor will go, Yakamoko. Just one tongue. Just one tongue. You can be in the church for a whole year. And it's just two people that spoke in tongues just on two Sundays. That kind of local church is building nothing. The Holy Spirit is not, you see, here we don't just have this, we emphasize. We have strong emphasis on the Spirit. A spiritless church cannot progress. When the apostles, you know, let's come a little bit in the New Testament. And all right, let's go to the book of Acts quickly. Acts chapter 6. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it will not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Did you see that? He says that for the service of tables, people are going to distribute food in the church. He says, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Now, what does that mean? Being full of the Spirit brings wisdom of administration. Do you get it? Your ability to administration is not just, you know, church administration is not something you just go and learn in the Bible school raw like that. But you see, when the people are full of the Holy Ghost, administration is easy. Because the person knows that if I come for special one-night meeting with the man of God, we will pray in tongues. Find men who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You come to the church and people are praying in tongues. You see hungry young men and hungry men and hungry women. Did you read about Caleb? As old as he was, he said, give me this mountain. 7 men who are full of the Spirit and wisdom. People who will not be sharing food just by sharing. People who share food by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the early church, they place serious emphasis on the spirit and ministry. So you will not just come to church and just you want to serve. You just come, you are cleaning chairs, and you are all over the place. When we are praying, you are moving out. You are too busy. What are you going to do? You are going to sweep outside. Are you okay? People who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Hallelujah. Before the month ends, I will show you the importance of the Holy Spirit and being full of the Holy Ghost in the local church. Hallelujah. Full of the Spirit. A spiritless church is full of concert. No, there are a lot of pastors today, people who preach, they say they are preaching, but they use their messages for comedy skits. You've not seen them? Yeah. You see your pastor's message. Now, message, you know, but you are bobbed 12 hours. There's a meeting that is looming. What's the date? Fifth and sixth, eh? Fifth and sixth. Yeah, there's a meeting that is looming. It's a boot camp. I'll be preaching from 10 p.m. to 8 p.m. Yeah. It's a book for all 100 elders. You can't even say you want to miss it. Yeah. From 5th and 6th, 10 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's your button. That's 8 p.m. Just a 7th. Yeah. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah. May you cry. Hallelujah. Full of the Spirit and wisdom. The place has to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because when the Holy Spirit is in our midst and he's working with us, we build a church that is full of greater glory. Hallelujah. A church full of... That's why you are in the church and today you say, I could not pray. Meeting time, you are sleeping, you can't even wake up. They are waking you and say, hey, let's go to church. Very soon, you will see what will happen to you. Hallelujah. So, the early church, they placed serious emphasis on the Spirit. Spirit and leadership, Spirit and ministry. You understand? So, the Bible says, while they were worshiping, as they were in deep worship, worshiping the Lord and fasting. Now, the Bible didn't say while they were fasting and worshiping. But while they were worshiping and fasting, it means that it was not a fasting meeting. But they had been so soaked in worship that they could not stop to go and eat. There's a difference between fasting and prayer, and prayer and fasting. They are not the same. Fasting and prayer, you say, I'm not eating today because I want to pray. Prayer and fasting is that I've prayed today or I'm praying today so I can't eat. They are not the same. So these guys were worshiping the Lord and fasting. They had gone deep in worship. So be namha, obi teha, obi euremu. Like, you know, everybody's all over the place. And tongues is flowing. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit said. It means that the local church in Antioch, the Spirit was there. He was in their midst. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. So if the Spirit of God is in our midst, what are some of the things we can always hear? Prophecies. So it means that the way the Holy Spirit, oh my God, I feel the anointing so strong. Hallelujah. The way the Holy Spirit reveals himself as being part of us, prophecies. Same thing in those who were building. Are we together? Same thing in Haggai. He gave them the word. Prophecies. The Spirit in our midst. It means that we don't just come to church and go. Prophecy, when prophecies come, we have to know how to handle it. How to receive it. I mean, sometimes, you know, prophecy is coming and you see people praying. Prophecy is for you to hear, not for you to pray. After you finish hearing, then you pray. So maybe the Lord says, you go like, oh, legaba, rano, shake bara. That's here the Lord. I've established you, then you rako seke tebe. Ain't you bumpy? That can't be the hati. you remain quiet and you listen. If you have to respond, you just respond with amen, case closed, because it's in the Bible. People responded with prophecy with amen. So you just go amen, amen. Don't add a lot of things. Amen. Radevasaka. Oh, kolebo lobo. Nyamekasa. That means your tongues is not even from God. Because how can the Holy Ghost be talking and then another Holy Ghost is talking? Just be quiet and listen. No, no, you didn't really. So 1 Corinthians says that he says, let the other one be silent. Let the other be silent and let the other finish. So if I'm prophesying, let me finish. Is it the Bible? You think it's in the Bible? So I'm saying that they place serious emphasis on the Holy Ghost to the point that the Holy Ghost was able to speak and say that, hey, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work which I have called them. So if you are in the local church and you don't really place serious emphasis on your relationship with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit himself and all of the things he can do in you, it means that you'll be lagging behind. You will always be getting the church to go back. You alone, for 6 months now you have been in the church, you still can't pray in tongues. Where you were, you've been in church for 6 months, you don't pray. Hey! I say tongues is a gift. No, it's never true. You remember what Paul says? He says, this gift is for you and for your children's children and all that which the Lord shall call. So it means God is interested in giving than you are interested in receiving. The problem is that you are not receiving. And that some people, their tongues is always one. Sheba babu, sukrumu. Sheba babu, sukrumu. Sheba babu, sukrumu. For 6 years they've been born again. Sheba babu, sukrumu. Yay! Some people too, that's how their tongue is. Yay! Raya, raya, raya. That's all that their tongue is about. Their tongues don't improve. Do you know how tongues improve? Do you know how your tongues, you get more vocabs when you keep speaking? I don't know how many of you realize that a time came and then it was like words were added. Maybe you got born again and you were like, you've done redodobo for about 3 weeks. Then there was this meeting. Man of God saw prayer. Unim said, move 10 minutes. Move 1 hour. Then your spirit starts saying, hara hara yabara. Hara hara yabara. Hara hara yabara. Yeah. it's coming. It means it, like something has been opened. Yeah. Then it's coming. So it's like your tongues now. After, so as you pray, you see the Holy Ghost is adding more words. Because the Bible says that they spoke in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them the words. So tongues, we don't learn tongues. We can't write on the board and say, ba, ba, ya, ra. They say, put it together and they say, ba, ba, ya, ra. No. We don't learn it. It is given by the Holy Ghost. One time I went for a prayer at the park and the person was saying, say kepko. And the person said, kepko. Ah, it has come. Oh, they'll say, Jesus. Say it has come. That's not it though. The Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Yeah, you're standing in there and it's one word for like 2 weeks. Then boom, some people, they don't speak the one word for long. Sometimes just 2 hours, the new one will start coming. They are hungry. If you are here, your tongue has been the same. Hey, rekoso, hey, rekoso, mima, rekoso, ra, rekoso, mima, ra. Please, it's time to upgrade. Set time for yourself. I said, I'm praying in tongues for 1 hour. I'm praying in tongues for 2 hours. You go on, you go, it's like you are shaking. then it will settle. You can't be speaking hele 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 for 1 year. Hele hele where? Because see, when even in a natural thing, when somebody is talking, it increases. Can't be hele hele rain say 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 rain 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 say rain say sha. Rain say, 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 rain say. This tongue, do you think we will go to heaven? Rain say, rain say. So the spirit in our midst, he brings prophecies. He says, separate unto me, Saul and Barnabas. So somebody got up as the worship was going on. Somebody says, thus saith the Lord, separate unto me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work which I have called them, saith the Spirit of God. And everybody was quiet. It was a wow. Oh, glory. I don't know where Brother Saul was and Brother Barnabas was. They just opened their eyes and say, eh? To where? But look at what the Bible says. Next verse. Verse 3. So after they had fasted and prayed. So you see. So after they had fasted and prayed. The other one, they worshiped and fasted. This one, they fasted and prayed. What does that mean? Now they say, all right, we are going to have an ordination service, a send-off service for Brother Saul and Brother Barnabas. We are fasting for 2-3 days. So they fasted and then they were praying. And after they did that, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. All right? So what am I saying? In our personal lives, as a corporate body, we must not neglect the spirit that is amongst us. Because you see, the spirit amongst us is the one, I'll come there, I'll teach that fully. The spirit amongst us is the one that designates ministries. Designate anointings. So the Holy Ghost designates ministries. He designates offices. He designates anointings. He gives specific mandates. Glory to God. He gives specific mandates. As you keep on and you keep on and you are in the church, you're coming to church, you're praying, you are involved, you will see that the Spirit of God will start putting responsibilities in your heart. Hallelujah. So in the local church, the Holy Spirit is the most important person in the local church. Because you see, your pastor can be there. If he does not have the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, he will lead you fucking leadings. Fucking leadings. You'll be there, I'll see you 90 days fasting. And the 90 days fasting, there's no agenda. It's not the 90 days that's the problem, but there's no agenda. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, on one, I'll see 2 weeks, and then, yeah, 2 weeks, yeah, ma, sorry. Fucking leadings. Fucking leadings. Yeah. Wow, so 2 weeks. Obia and Sia sorry demo. Yeah, ma. Obiana. You know how when the COVID came, how pastors were in hurry to close down church. Before the president came to even give the lock, before he came to give the lockdown, people started locking their churches. As well for baby Abreu. It's also a radim that say. Sisiano, Abain say, Ubiana, Intimistremo, Yabe Koswa Kaimo on Paibomu, Aya, Monfamo Tite in Emra. Just a yin to me, she up, but Tite in the Monfamra. Amen. Amen. I saw my mom's all my bread. Obia said, "Dem, mom, mom, No. Fucking leadings. You can't be a pastor. And I mean, you saw COVID. You saw how Pastor Chris was all over the place. They said, "We cannot lock down. We still are meeting. You have kicked us out of our churches. I'm telling you, call it." And when they called back, when they say everybody can meet, pastors literally started begging people to come to church. I know a very mega church in this country. COVID by omu biebi omu ngonga muno. Sanity omu kantum. Still social distance till date. They are still social distancing in the church. Like, people are tired. But you see, when there is so much, because all the churches I know that place strong emphasis on the spirit, they are still forging on. Those churches, they don't collapse, though. They still forge on. They are still moving on. They are still beating the enemy in his kingdom. Hallelujah. Come on, praise the name of the Lord. Strong emphasis on the spirit. Do you know that a whole year should not go where you have not had a study on the Holy Spirit? Personally, I mean, every year I will teach on the Spirit. Every year. It's one of our forever things. I will teach on the Spirit. I will teach on the gift of the Spirit. Every year I will teach on it. That one, no lie. But personally, hallelujah. Studying on the Holy, buying solid, correct books. Let me tell you, books by Kenneth Hagin on the Holy Spirit. And you're praying in tongues, and you're reading, you're praying in tongues. The Holy Spirit is, he deposits gifts. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Next verse. And you see, he was talking about the gifts of the Spirit before he got here. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? Now, this one scripture people have, you say, do all speak in tongues? They say, no. Do. So when they say, do all speak in tongues? You say, no. I say, why should it be you? Yes, all don't speak in tongues. So why should it be you that who will not? Do you understand? But that's not even what he's talking about here. He's talking about offices, all right? But I don't have time. That's not what I'm talking about. Next verse. Do I interpret? No. Now, eagerly desire the greater gift, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Okay, go back to 12. Let's start from 20. I just want something small there. Have you been blessed tonight? You sure about that? Hallelujah. Okay, now. Let's get to verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he wills. King James says, as he wills. So there is a willing, or there is a determined spirit in our midst. There is a spirit that has, put King James there, or put NLT. Put NLT there. So it tells you there is a willing spirit in our midst. Are we together? Come on, are we together? There is a willing spirit in our midst. So the spirit, when we meet, there is the will of the Spirit. And the will of the Spirit is in distributions. The will of the Spirit is in distributions. So it's not like when we are together, the Holy Ghost is just there and say, am I willing today or I'm not willing? He is a willing spirit. And the willingness of the Spirit is in distributions. Hallelujah. The will of the Spirit is in distributions. Several distributions of variegated gifts. So when we meet together, the Holy Ghost, his will. So when we say that the will of the Spirit in the local church, what are we talking about? We are talking about the distributions of the Spirit. When we come, the Holy Ghost is already reigning. He's distributing. That's the work he does in the local church. So it's like a flowing shower. The Holy Ghost's will is like a flowing shower. All right? And the water that is cascading from the shower is gifts. So the moment you come into the local church, you come under the the shower of the Spirit. So you will definitely get a water. So anytime we meet in the local church, anytime we congregate ourselves together as a corporate body, there is the rain of the Spirit. And the rain, don't miss Amor Camp for anything. The rain of the Spirit then is distributions. So when we meet together, we live with distributions of the Spirit. See, there's a Spirit amongst us. Oh, glory. There's a Spirit amongst us. So he says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift he should have, and not really entirely so. Hallelujah. So he distributes according to his will. He distributes according to his decision. In other words, his decision is for distributions. Do you understand? It's not like he decides which gift who should have. No, his decision is the distribution. So we come to church, and under the shower of the Spirit, somebody catches word of knowledge. Somebody catches the gift of tongues. Somebody catches the interpretation of tongues. Somebody catches that. Distributions to enable us work. To enable us build the second house. To enable us build the church. To enable us to build the people of God. So the Holy Ghost supplies diversities of enablement for the building. That is why he does not use people who have skills already. That's why in this second house, he is using people who are volunteers, people who are lay people. Why? So that the skills of these people will be the skills of the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So there you are. Let me get like one person. This guy is just a wee smoker, you know, maybe one nonsense guy in the community and all of that. And then who wins you to Christ? Somebody meets him and then brings him to the Lord. And the guy start coming to church. He's just coming to the local church. Oh, Wednesday, Ojinemu, Friday, Waba, Sunday, Waba, Oba, Turebuka, and someone Eka Kron, said, Auntie, I say any other, on the name, sir. Then he is supposed to be a builder of the second house. Because in the building of the second house, in the building of the latter house, we don't look for people who have the know-how. We are talking about people whom the Spirit is going to give birth to the know-how. And their know-how will be spiritually orchestrated. And the part that he's going to play in the second house, in the second house, is actually... If we are building a house and we are at the foundation level, we will not go and call, say, an electrician. So you will see that you two foundation, the electrician, no, because the gift of the electrician is not at the foundation level. You have a plan, you have a land, and you say, I'm planning to build a house. Then you go and consult a plumber. No, that's not going to work. Do you get it? So when the building is in session, when the building is being built, you need a mason, you need an architect, you need all of that. So as we are building the building and this guy comes in, all right, the kind of thing the Holy Ghost is doing is that now this guy has no skill. So the Holy Ghost decides that I want you to be a plumber in this building. Then he opens a plumbing skill in you. So the skill I'm talking about is the gift of the Spirit. The plumbing I'm talking, the skill I'm talking about is the anointings of the Spirit. The skill of the Spirit, the skill I'm talking about is the callings of the Spirit. So the Holy Ghost says, you know what? you are going to interpret tongues. Or the Holy Ghost says, all right, you are going to heal the sick. The Holy Ghost says, what? You are going to have a word of knowledge for a period of 6 months. Then I'm going to swap into maybe the word of wisdom. Then I will swap to prophecy. Then I'm going to cause you to walk into these things. So these are gifts opened by the Spirit. These are gifts that are enacted, planted, hallelujah, and unleashed by the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So it's just a lame person. Sit down. Lame person. Doesn't know much. But then the gifts, the Spirit, see, that's why the Bible calls it the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. The gift. It's the gift. And it's like, It's actually called the grace of the Spirit. The word gift in the Greek is charisma. All right? Charisma. So the root word is charis, grace. And what is grace? Enablement. So the gift of the Spirit simply means the different ways the Spirit enables. So the enablement of the Spirit, where the Holy Ghost uses lay people, ordinary people. He says, I'm not looking for people who have first class in teaching. I'm just looking for people who are lay people who have listened to their pastor teach, and I'm going to pour an anointing on them, and they are going to teach. Hallelujah. I'm going to look at one, tonight, I'm just going to pick up one person or two people, and I'm going to place on them the enablement of prophecy. I'm going to pick one or two people, and I'm going to dump on them the enablement of healings. So the Holy Ghost, the people who are committed to the work, the Holy Ghost in their midst supplies different kinds of enablement. This is a spirit thing. So if you're going to run your one raw, you are going to produce people who don't have the enablement of the Spirit. And this particular second building here, if you are not enabled by the Spirit, because the work itself is weak, is frail, the work is inferior. So the only hope out of it, the only way out is some enablement of the Spirit to be able to build as the Spirit builds. Exodus 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I have specifically chosen Bezaleel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Now, this is when God wanted to build the tabernacle. God tells Moses, I want you to build a tabernacle. And in the building of that tabernacle, God says, Moses, I have specifically chosen Bezaleel. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. And look at that. Giving him great wisdom. So the infilling of the Spirit of God gave explosive wisdom. In other words, he gained insight. When the Holy Ghost is in the midst of a people, he brings wisdom. Out together, he says, when I filled him by the Spirit of God, he gave him wisdom, and look at that, giving him great wisdom, ability. So when the Spirit of God comes in, he comes in with ability, ableness. As you sit down and you are teaching the word of God, and you are speaking, and you are preaching, neglect not the Holy Ghost. The words pouring forth out of your mouth should be prayer. It should enter the people. Because as he enters and the Spirit of God get maximized in their lives, they will be opened suddenly to insight. You see that kind of thing that there was a member who was not serious. One man, sorry, and funny home. Any other day. Or started bad, so it'd be 3 weeks. Or bad 3 weeks. 1 month, at once. So foam. Now, we're going to go funnel. Then you begin to see certain insight in the person's life. wisdom, and the Bible says ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. So when the Holy Ghost comes, he does not come empty. He says, I filled him with the Spirit of God. When the Holy Ghost rests on a person, his coming is for distributions. His coming is for enablement. His coming is for abilities. His coming is for strength. His coming is for that which you could not do. The Holy Ghost comes with strength. Yeah. So he makes you a house that is built by the help of the Spirit. A life that is built by the help of the Spirit. So listen, if you're a young man and you're building your life just by your wisdom, you won't go anywhere. You will not be able to stand the test of time. We are a local church that has the Spirit amongst us. I said we have the Holy Ghost amongst us. Come on, we have the Spirit amongst us. We have the Spirit amongst us. And the Spirit amongst us, what does he do? Greater glory, enablement, explosions of gift. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm saying. A little while. I'm going to raise one of the greatest prophets in the world. I'm going to raise great prophets, great apostles, great pastors, great teachers of the word. Hallelujah. Miracle workers, prophetess, glory to God now, evangelists that will stand and stir God's people unto salvation, that will win souls in masses. Glory to God. That's what we are doing. Because you know what? As I'm ministering, I'm releasing the Spirit. 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 You're going to lift up your voice in the language of the Spirit.
We trust you've been blessed by this message. This and many more messages by Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu are now available on all major podcasting platforms. Kindly search for Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu and tap the follow button for more. Visit us at any GWC church near you in Sawom, Kutunse, Achimota, Bubuashi, Kumase, Kintampo, and Oda. God bless you.
In Christianity, God is a preserver. In Christianity, God is a deliverer. In Christianity, God is one who prospers. He's a prosperer. He's one who prospers. So in Christianity, God is our soter.